I thank you today that your word is life-changing. And today as I minister these truths on boundaries, I thank you, Lord, that you will help us to take this word that we hear, to apply it to our lives, and that each of us will see the fruit of the wisdom that we receive from your word today. And Lord, I'm so grateful that your word just doesn't tell us what to do, but it also gives us the power to do it. So Holy Spirit, I trust you today to empower every one of us to do what we hear in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are in a series right now entitled Boundaries, Anyone? And really this series is on relationships. Can I get a drink of water? It's on relationships and what the Bible has to say about relationships. You know, we often refer to the Bible as the book of life. Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. Well, so much of life has to do with relationships. And one of the things that the Bible teaches us clearly is that if we are going to have healthy relationships and enjoy our life, then we're going to have to build boundaries. And the Bible even tells us how to build boundaries and what boundaries to build. And today I'm actually going to take this message a little further this week with a message entitled, Let the Boundaries Begin. I want to share with you today what I believe the Bible teaches us are three necessary boundaries that you must have in your personal life. So let's get into the message. But as we get into the message, I want to go back for just a moment and review some of the things that we've learned already about boundaries so we can just build on them. Here's the first thing we learned about boundaries. A boundary is a limit set. And we learned this from Job chapter 38, verse 11. God speaking here to Job, he said, I said, this far and no farther will you come. Here your proud waves must stop. And we see that while oceans and seas and rivers, they provide so much for us, God set a boundary on those. He set a limit. A boundary is a limit set. Here's what we've also learned about boundaries, and really this deals with the purpose. Boundaries protect us from damage. Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Boundaries safeguard us from damage. They protect our inner being, who we are on the inside. Have you ever had a broken heart? Have you ever had some things? Listen, our real life is what's going on inside us. And the Bible says, protect your heart. Boundaries do that. And then we also learn that boundaries are founded on love. 1 John 4:19, it says, we love each other because he loved us first. Listen, if you want to have healthy relationships, and if you want to have good boundaries that help those relationships flourish, then you have to live to love, or you have to live loved. In other words, you've got to receive God's love first, and then you've got to love others. And one of the ways that we love others is we make sure that the boundaries that we are setting are set out of love, that they have this foundation of love, that they're just not, no. No, they're founded out of love because we understand that boundaries are also about bonding. Boundaries help us bond, but they help us bond in healthy ways. And so we've got to build that foundation of love. The reason I have this boundary is, yes, to protect me, but it's also because I love you. And I want to help you. I want to have a healthy relationship with you. Now, let the boundaries begin. Let's talk about beginning boundaries. And I want to go back to Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs 4:23 again says this, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Now, I want to draw a truth out of this passage and just examine it. And as we examine this passage, We're going to see a truth. And here's what Jesus said. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So I believe as we look at these truths today about boundaries, I believe that it's going to help us to live in freedom. Boundaries are not about bondage. Boundaries are all about freedom. But here's this truth that we see. We see that boundaries begin with us. Boundaries are about defining our limits. We have to know what we believe, what our values are. Do you have values that you live life by? You know what? I like to define my values in different ways. And sometimes I like to keep them very simple. And sometimes I just say my value is God first, family second, and others third. You know, I love God. I love my family. And I live by that. In other words, I don't let people take the place of God. I don't let my family take the place of God. I don't let people take the place of my family. My family comes second. If you need me, my family needs me. It's not a decision. That decision's already made because I have values. It's a boundary in my life. And you know why? Because I'm guarding my own heart. And I'm guarding my own heart by aligning my boundaries with God's word. And I have to decide first for myself, what are my boundaries? Because if not, then you come along and you have a value. And if I don't know my value, I'm going to think, well, maybe that's a good value. Or the world puts out values. Guard your heart. Know what you believe. Know what your values are. Decide if you're going to live for Jesus, if you're going to live by the word of God. And that's all defining our limits, and it's about guarding your heart. And guard means to protect, to keep, and to maintain. Listen, you have to know this about boundary setting. You are going to constantly be having to shore up your boundaries. And maybe even as people grow, as you grow, God may say, hey, you can stretch that boundary out a little bit. Or, you know, you can welcome them in. Or, man, you need to guard this better. You've let that boundary over there down. So it's keep, protect, maintain. And here's the question that I believe the Lord wants all of us to ask today. How well are you protecting your heart? Is your heart guarded? Have you defined your limits? It's a little hard to guard something if you don't know what you're guarding. To maintain something if you don't know what you're maintaining. Now listen, here's why we want boundaries and why we want to do what the Bible says in guarding our heart. Because how well we guard our heart determines the direction and the quality of our life. Maybe if we had guarded our heart, we wouldn't have gone that direction. Because our values, my value about I'm going to obey the word of God, that boundary would have stopped me. And I wouldn't have gone that direction. It would have caused me to enjoy a better quality of life. Now listen. Listen, let's be real. All of us have broken a boundary. We're human. We're going to get out of our yard. We're going to disobey. There's forgiveness and there's healing. We all need that. But I'm thankful, too, that I have good boundaries and I respect those boundaries because they have kept me from a lot of extra pain. Life can be a pain, even if you have good boundaries. How many know sometimes it's just a pain to get up and go to work again? You're not alone. But you know why you do that? Because you have this boundary. You know it's healthy. You know, the Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. So you think, I think the pain of not eating is greater than the pain of going to work this morning. I'll go to work. Come on. Now, guard your heart. Take care of you first. In fact, here's the first boundary that I want us to look at this morning that I believe that you need to set. Boundary number one, it's the boundary of personal responsibility. In fact, let me explain this boundary, help you see this boundary this way in a very practical example. If you've ever flown on an airplane, you know that one of the first things they do, you know, when you're ready to take off, everybody's seated and they're comfortable, they'll say, look in the pocket of the seat in front of you and you're going to find a safety tip and pull that out and I'm going to go over the guidelines. And either a steward or stewardess goes over the guidelines. And one of the things they talk about in those guidelines, those safety guidelines, is they talk about the oxygen mask. And they talk about if ever the plane gets to the place where it loses its cabin pressure and you need oxygen, there's going to be a mask that falls down over your seat. And then what do they tell you? They tell you, put your mask on first. And then if there's somebody with you who needs your help, after your mask is securely on, then you can put their mask on. We could go home today. I could just stop right there. Because some of you are out of breath in life because you keep trying to put on someone else's oxygen mask. You try to put their mask on. And listen, some of them don't even want an oxygen mask. And you're fighting with them to put it on. I remember the Lord saying to me one time, because, you know, we all, as Christians, as believers, you want to help people, people you love in your life, whether it's a spouse, a child, an adult child, whether it's a cousin, some coworker, a dear friend that you have, and maybe they've gotten themselves in a position where they really need help. Well, we want to help. I mean, I'm in ministry because I want to help people, but there's times that the Lord has said to me, Jane, it is irresponsible for you to be responsible for something that is not your responsibility. Put on your own mask first. Now, the truth is, there may be seasons that someone may legitimately need your help to put their mask on. But here's the thing. You won't be able to really discern that until you have your mask on. And here's something else you're going to learn. They're not going to die while you're putting your mask on. Listen, I know that person's going, you mean you're not going to talk to me anymore? You mean you're not going to pay for that for me anymore? You know, you mean you're not going to do that for me anymore? They're not going to die. Let them do it. Let them exercise their muscles. Now, we're talking about this personal boundary of responsibility. Be responsible. Listen to the definition of responsibility. Having an obligation to do something or having control over or care for someone as a part of one's job or role. You cannot, and listen, in marriage you've learned, I hope you've learned this, you cannot control your spouse. As much as I would like for God to give me a remote control. Just certain moments, not all the time, but just certain moments. I would love, and I'm sure Jeff would too. Come on. But you see, here's what I got to do. I can't try to control him, even if I'm angry. I got to control my anger. I got to be responsible for me. I got to be responsible that was what I chose to say, what I chose to do. And you know what? Some of you today, you just need to decide to stop trying to change others and to stop trying to be responsible for things you are not responsible for. Now listen, we love people. And I know I've seen people as their children grow up and now they're adults and they're 40 and people are still trying to be responsible for them. And so then you're picking up a weight in life that's not yours. And here's the thing, it's not healthy for them either. Remember, without boundaries, there's damage. And that relationship is not going to be better. It's going to be worse. It's going to be unhealthy. Bottom line, it's all about control. And here's the key of this personal responsibility boundary, and that is it's about being responsible for what is under your control. Now listen, When your children are 3 years old, you can control certain things. But when they're 30, you cannot. When they're 30, let them eat what they want to eat. I want to tell this story again. It's so funny. But I think it was our first or second trip to New York, maybe first. And so we went to New York City. Jeff took me there for my birthday, and, you know, we're enjoying the sights. Well, I really love popcorn. So I smelled this popcorn, and I just said, I want to go in there and get some popcorn. I mean, it's my birthday, right? So we go in there, and we're standing in line to get the popcorn, and Jeff is saying, are you sure you want this popcorn? And I said, yes. He goes, well, you know, we've got these dinner reservations tonight, and I know you don't eat that much, and so, you know, you're going to eat this popcorn. And I said, I want the popcorn. He goes, are you sure? So finally, this guy, was he behind us? Yeah, he was behind us, like a typical New Yorker. He yells out, he goes, hey, buddy, let the girl have her popcorn. Look at her. Oh, thank you. Now listen, it's about what you can control. Listen, some of y'all, this should bring such freedom. I prayed as I was doing this message. I said, Jesus, I don't want just 3 points. I want 3 life-giving truths that are going to bring about freedom and bless relationships. You need to let some people go. You're going to need God's help. You're going to need to set this boundary. Do you remember what God said to Pharaoh because he had enslaved the children of Israel? He said, let my people go. I have a word from you from the Lord. Let that person go. Cannot control them. Yes, you wish they would make a better decision, but you can't control it. And you're frustrated, you're hurt, and it's damaging your heart. And it's not helping that relationship. So part of defining this boundary of personal responsibility is just to ask, what can I control and what can I not control? When we give people their freedom, we'll find freedom. John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you're truly free. And I believe today Jesus is setting us free with this message. And you may just have to right now say, Lord, forgive me. I'm going to live free. With your help, I'm going to live free. Now, I'm going to spend most of the time this morning. We have 2 other boundaries, but I'm going to spend most on this one because you got to get this one right before you do the others. So I want to walk this out in another way. Or when I say walk it out, I want to present it in another passage in scriptures. And I want to take you to 1 Thessalonians 4:11-12. And here's how we see this boundary of personal responsibility spoken by the Apostle Paul. He said, make it your goal to live a quiet life, minding your own business and working with your hands, just as we instructed you before. Then people who are not believers will respect the way you live and will not need to depend on, and you will not need to depend on others. Ooh. People have always had boundary issues, even back then. Paul was saying, mind your own business. And here's the truth. You have enough business to mind that you don't need to get in my business. Now, as a pastor, I can get in your business sometimes. But here's the thing, I cannot mind your business. I cannot watch over your business. I can give you, really what I do is I give you tools. Amen. But then you got to mind your own business. You got to decide in your life what's your business and what's not your business. Even at work, mind your own business. If the company wants to go that direction, if the leader, now there's times, you know, even with our staff that I'll say, hey, let's discuss this. But there's other times I say, here's where we're going. You know what? If you have another thought, too late. Here's mind your own business. If you want to do it that way, go to another church. Mind your own business. Yeah. Now, understand, in your house, you know, the kid, here's where we're going. At work, if the boss says this is what we're doing, then do it. Don't complain about it. Mind your own business. Take personal responsibility for your part. And here's what he says. Even people who don't know Jesus will respect you if you have boundaries. And you know, we can preach the gospel, but we can't try to get people to live the gospel. Mind your own business. If they don't want to accept Jesus, I'll pray for you, but I'll never say, I won't talk to you until you ask me again. Mind your own business. Listen, people, respect people with boundaries. And let me say this, love is given freely, respect is earned. We love everybody. But listen, we also want to live in such a way that the people in our life, they respect us because we have boundaries. They may not even like our boundaries. In fact, that person that's been kind of encroaching on our boundaries and wanting us to have them depend on us, they may not like it, but they will respect us. John 21:20. Listen to this one. Even Jesus' disciples had a problem with this. We all do. So let's just fess up. Peter turned around and saw behind them the disciple Jesus loved, the one who had leaned over to Jesus during supper, and asked, "Lord, who will betray you?" Or I'm sorry, I said that. I read that kind of wrong. This is the one that said that earlier. John is the disciple. Verse 21. Peter asked Jesus, "What about him, Lord?" Jesus replied, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" What was Jesus saying? Mind your own business. And then he says this, "As for you, follow me." Really, what had happened here is Jesus was telling Peter about his future, and there were some pretty rough things that were going to happen to Peter. And so if you read the Gospels, you know Peter and John kind of had this little underlying rivalry going, you might say. Peter was always out there with his big mouth, and John was always the one loving on Jesus, and Peter was the he-man, you know. And so Peter said, "Well, what about him?" And Jesus said, "Mind your own business." You know, we do that, folks. Well, Lord, you're blessing them. Mind your own business. How come they got their prayer? Mind your own business. You know, sometimes I say, "Lord, look at that church." Mind your own business, Jane. Personal responsibility, this boundary that I have, it keeps me protected and it causes other relationships to flourish. People respect me. People respect us. Be responsible. Mind your own business. But let's get to the second boundary. I want to share with you the second boundary by going to Matthew chapter 7, and I'm going to start reading with verse 3, and here Jesus is given a parable. "And why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, 'Let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye,' when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye." Now, while this seems familiar or seems similar to personal responsibility, I want to narrow it down a little bit. And really, this is the boundary here. It's the boundary of personal integrity, a boundary of integrity. In other words, I'm not going to ask you to do what I won't do myself. Can you hand me my log? You know, this is going to be funny. Now listen, if I haven't applied, in fact, let me, even before I give this illustration, let me just read to you the definition of integrity. It says the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, adherence to a code of moral values, to be whole, undivided. You see, when we don't walk in integrity, we damage ourselves. That means I'm requiring you to do something, and I'm applying the word of God to you in a way that I don't apply it to myself. I know I'm not living right, but I'm going to require you to live right, or I'm going to judge you when you don't. In other words, if we don't have any integrity, we go around with the proverbial log in our eye. Now, you got a speck. And how many of you know this is really going to be difficult for me to have relationships with this log? You might get beat up. You might get hit. And isn't that how you feel when someone you know they're not doing what they're telling you to do? You feel beat up by them. You can't get close to them. You like to tell them, excuse me, have you seen the log? It's personal integrity. Listen, I'm not going to jump on you for your lack of financial management if I'm not managing my own finances. If I'm not applying the truths of God's word in my life, listen, here's this boundary of personal integrity. It's this: I'm going to be honest with myself about myself. And that is painful. I can't tell you sometimes. I remember I was going through this season. It wasn't too long after we'd been married, and the Lord was dealing with me, and I was growing, and Jeff was helping me. And I just said, oh, I'm going to have to apologize to that person too, aren't I? And he said, yeah. And really, to apologize, also, I had to admit, I have this fault. I do things. I sometimes am the bull in the china closet because I want to get the task done. I'm a task-oriented person instead of a people person. And I'd run over people trying to get the task done. Oh, it was painful. But you see, I have this boundary because why? I want relationships to flourish. And when people see, now that doesn't mean I'm perfect. Even being a person of integrity, I had to go to them and say, look, this is not how I want to act. Go and say, I'm sorry. This is the way I want to live. I wasn't doing what I know is right. And that is people treatment is first, not task. The way I treat people. Yes, we need to get the task done. But we also have to be gracious to people along the way. So when we practice and apply the truths of God's word in our lives, then we can help others. Yes. And here's the thing. We really can't see clearly how to help them until we get the log out of our own eye. And it's amazing how when we're honest with ourselves and we walk in integrity with ourselves, that then their problem takes on a whole new perspective. Yes. And we treat them differently. We're more kind. We're more gracious. In fact, can you put up that cartoon? Do we have my little cartoon? There you go. Hey, bub. You have a little something in your eye there. Come on. Integrity is simply deal with yourself first. In fact, we have to be responsible there to get the log out of our own eye, apply it to ourselves. Let's get to the third one. I have about 5 minutes here to deal with this last boundary that I think it's important for you to set. And I want to take you to another parable by Jesus in Matthew 13:24. Matthew 13:24, starting with verse 24, he says, here is another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as the worker slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went out to him and said, sir, the field where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from? An enemy has done this, the farmer exclaimed. Should we pull out the weeds, they asked. No, he replied. You'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles and burn them and put them into the wheat barn. Listen, here's what we all know. Even when we do our best and we have good boundaries, we're growing. We don't know everything. And sometimes the enemy gets in. Sometimes people just come barreling through the boundaries we've set up. It may have been when we were young and we were under somebody else's authority that they put seed in our garden. Bad seed. But here, Jesus teaches us this parable, and I realize in context, in the setting, in this context, it's really about even the end time. But as is so often with principles of the Bible, you can take that principle out and you can apply it in other situations. And here's what I want you to apply and the truths that we can learn. And that is, first of all, Weed your own garden. If the enemy has done something, look at that. You got a border now. You got a boundary. Look inside and see. And don't try to figure out why that happened, why that damage is there. Is it my fault? Is it their fault? You know what? Unless the Lord instructs you to seek the why, just go ahead and say, Lord, I want to be delivered. Here's the other principle that you need to learn. You may not be able to pull all the weeds at once. Because if you do, you could damage yourself. And you need to remember that when someone else is coming out of brokenness. Listen, you give them time to grow. Because if you try to handle things too quickly, you could pull up some of the wheat with the tares. Do damage. And really, here's the big thing that I want you to learn. We've got an enemy, and so we need help. There were harvesters that came in. And in this parable, really, the harvesters were the angels at the end time. But we know that the help that God has given us is the Holy Spirit. And here's the last boundary that I want us to set. And that is the boundary of humility. John 14:16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he lives with you and he will be in you. You see, we definitely need the help of the Holy Spirit to see the truth about ourselves. But here's the other thing. We need to be humble enough to ask for his help and not just go start pulling weeds. You don't know a weed from a wheat, a tare from a wheat. What is good, what is bad, you're going to need help. Listen, one of the boundaries, personal boundaries you need to have in your life is I am humble. I realize that I cannot do life by myself. I need God. I need others. I need help. Wow. And if you meet other people who don't need help, arrogant. Galatians 3:3 says this. It really defines this boundary. How foolish can you be? After starting your Christian lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? You see, don't take these boundaries lesson and just start yanking the weeds. No. Also remember, not only live responsibly, not only, you know, have this boundary of integrity, but also one of humility. God, I can't do this boundary living without you. How foolish it would be to think that I could live the life that you've called me to live and have the relationships that you want me to have without humbling myself. Wow. Well, let the boundaries begin. Real simple. Live responsibly, with integrity, and humility. Amen. Did you get something out of that this morning? I pray that you did.